So today it's our second week looking at this one little word called hope. All right, so last week we said the world's hope is more like just a wish. It's got no foundation. You know, we all wish we could win the lottery, but there's no foundation to it. But God's hope is based on his word. And we must make a decision to hope. We brought this revelation that when our hope dies, we cut off the flow of God's power in our lives. And I brought a vision showing someone in a cave. I said, when the enemy rolls that stone over and we feel like we're locked in a cave, the enemy wants to lock us in there without hope. So the enemy rolls the stone over, but hope in God will roll the stone away. This is what it says in Psalm 39 and verse 7. And now, Lord, what do I wait for and expect? My hope and expectation are in you. So today, let me ask the question, where is our hope and expectation? Where have we put it? Are they still in God? Or did we start out hoping, and then when things got a bit tough, you know, that's when we decided to give up? In hard times, the only one we can hope in and expect to be there for us is God. God is the only one that can be there 24/7. He's the only one that can be there at 3 o'clock in the morning when everyone else is asleep and snoring. Okay? Not pointing fingers at anybody, but some of you are asleep and snoring at 3 in the morning. God's the only one that can be there. So I'm going to take a little look at a man called Lazarus, and most of us will know his story, but I'm just going to take a wee look. So Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. He had two sisters, Mary and Martha, and Lazarus was having a hard time. It was not his best day because he was dead, right? Wasn't having a good hair day. His sisters had every reason to give up their hope. They were holding on by their fingernails. I don't know if you've ever been in that position. Here's the beginning of the story. It's all in John chapter 11, and we're starting at verse 21. Martha then said to Jesus, Master, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, he will grant it to you. And Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. Martha replied, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in, trusts in me, although he may die, yet shall he live. Do you believe this? And so Martha's saying to Jesus, if you'd been here, Jesus, this wouldn't have happened. If you'd only been here, my brother would still be alive. So she'd started out with hope. We can all start out with hope, but something happens on the way. Something dies on the way. So here's my question. What's died in your life? What hopes or dreams are now roadkill? They're DOA, dead on arrival. And you're thinking, this will never happen. It will never happen now at this stage in my life, at this age or whatever. So even if we started out with hope, we need to ask ourselves on a regular basis, where is my hope now? Where is it this morning? Where is it this afternoon? And Jesus asks Martha what she believes now. He's saying, I know that you believed if I'd been here, you'd still be alive, Martha. I know all that and everything. But do you believe this now? Do you believe there's still hope now of a resurrection and a life? What do you believe now, Martha? And he's asking us the same question. I know what you believed last week. I know what you believed last year. But look at the kind of day you've had or the kind of week you've had. So what do you believe now about me? Do you still believe that I can roll that stone away and bring you out of this cave? He's asking us the same question. What do we believe in this season of our lives? Do we still have hope even if we're in a hopeless time? You know, Lazarus was in a cave. He was dead and he was buried. So this situation was fairly lacking in hope. You know, it was a hopeless situation. So how's your week been? Hopefully a wee tad better than Lazarus, Okay, since we're all standing, we all managed to walk through the door, I'm thinking it was a wee bit better. But life can be rubbish at times, and a stone can roll over us and bury our hope and us with it. And you might say, well, Sandra, I'm trying to hope, but I've been disappointed before. Disappointment is huge. In fact, I want to just pray right now. And if you feel there's some disappointment in your life, I want you to hold it up to God right now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I come against all disappointment, represented in this room. And I bind disappointment and I just break it off our lives right now in Jesus' name. And I release fresh hope. Fresh hope in Jesus' name. Don't give up on God just because in the past you've experienced disappointment. And most of you know this little saying, I don't know where it's come from originally, but two men looked through prison bars. One saw mud, the other stars. They were both in the same prison. Maybe they were prisoners of hope. Maybe they were in a hopeless prison, but they had a different attitude. One looked out and he looked down at the mud and the disappointment and everything that had gone wrong. Another one looked up and he looked at the stars. You know, if nothing else, folks, we need to aim for the stars. It's better to aim for the stars and miss than aim for nothing and get it every time. We need to aim for something good in God. We need to aim for hope. We shouldn't be aiming for anything less. We certainly should not be aiming for disappointment. That's not where our thoughts should be focused. You know, our God is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. He is not the magician of magicians. He does not have a magic wand to wave over our lives. He works in us and for us based on what we believe and based on our hope in Him. Because hope is all part of faith. And if we don't have hope in Him, it's really hard for God to move. Verse 25 there, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. In other words, he's saying, you can put your hope in me because I can bring this dead thing back to life. God resurrects dead things because he is the resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection. It's a family business. You know, that's what they do for a living. You don't get paid for it unless we praise and thank them for it. But that's what they do. If you want an expert to come and bring resurrection, you need to come to the living God, who is the resurrection. You know, if we need an expert lawyer, we know who to go to. We need an expert painter and decorator. We ask around our friends and say, have you got a good painter? Have you got a good plumber? Have you got a good sparky? Who can come and do this job for me? You want someone who's recommended? I can recommend the resurrection and the life today. To come into your life and resurrect dead things. I want us to note this, that Jesus is still the resurrection today, and he can still resurrect our dead situation. This is not just history. This is modern studies. This is today. He's alive today. God's saying, I am able to resurrect your life if you are able to hope in me. We have to have the hope. He's got the power, but we need to put our hope in it. We'll carry on the story, John 11, verse 32. The second sister comes along. When Mary came to the place where Jesus was and saw him, she dropped down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her sobbing, and the Jews who came with her also sobbing, he was deeply moved. Then in verse 35, it says, Jesus wept. Shortest sentence in the Bible. Jesus wept. Now Mary says the exact same as her sister Martha. And if you've got a sister, you'll know it's very rare that you say the exact same things. Usually we're saying the opposite. These two sisters agreed. If only you'd been here, Jesus. They both had the same hope in the power of God to save their brother. Here's a two-word sentence for you. Do we have the same hope in God to save us, our situation, our loved ones, someone from being sick? Do we have the same hope? There's a two-word sentence to go away with today. If you don't go away with anything else, go away with that two-word sentence. Do we? It's a question. Do we have the exact same hope? A never-ending hope in the God who is the resurrection. And in verse 35, Jesus wept. He was full of compassion for these two women and for their brother Lazarus. Something had attacked his friend and buried him, and Jesus was moved to tears. I don't know what's attacked you. I don't know what's buried you. I don't know what's put you in a cave, but I'm telling you now, Jesus was moved to tears for whatever we've been through. I want us to note this. When something buries us, God weeps too. He has compassion on us. Let's look at verse 38 in John 11. Now Jesus again, sighing repeatedly and deeply disquieted, approached the tomb, and abode early against the entrance to it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha exclaimed, "But Lord, by this time he is decaying and throws off an offensive odor, for he has been dead 4 days." So it's not something they would not have done normally. It's this is a really hot country and a very dead body. You know, it would have been absolutely stinking. And the Jews believed that the spirit of the dead person hung around the body for up to 3 days. That was the belief in their religion, that the spirit hung around for up to 3 days. And I just believe God waited specifically for this time. So now it was the fourth day. So no one could claim, oh, he wasn't really dead. No one could claim that. This was the fourth day and everyone was going, there's no hope. It's dead and buried and gone. This is the fourth day. And that's why this would be such a miracle, because this was impossible in their eyes. Absolutely impossible. So here's another question for us today. What's impossible in our eyes? What's the fourth day for us? What's absolutely impossible? What do we think? God can't do this. You just can't do it. I don't know what your situation is, but you need to really think about that question and think, am I believing God can't do it when actually he can? I want to encourage us to keep hoping, because nothing is impossible for the God of hope. It says this in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. "For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." Do you know the power that can come out of our mouths when we speak the word of God? No word of God is without power. No word of God is without power. Turn to someone today and say, no word of God is without power. No word of God is without power. That's amazing. When we speak God's word, it's impossible for it not to have power. It created the world. It resurrected the dead. It brought Jesus back to life. That's how powerful the word of God is. No word of God is without power. When we're saying what God would say, God's words, his creative power is coming out of our mouths. His creative power is coming out of our mouths. So are we saying what God would say, or are we saying what the enemy would say? What is it that's coming out of our mouths? Is it, I can't do this? It's just too hard. I've had enough. I give up. Or is it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Because only one of those statements is from God. The other three are from the enemy. It's not rocket science. What's coming out of our mouths? You know, I was said last week, if we're speaking negatively about ourselves, it's like loading the gun and giving it to the enemy to fire at us. We need to be careful about our words. So are we saying what God would say, or are we saying what the enemy would say? It's time for a mouth check. You know, we give our car an MOT. Let's give our mouth an MOT and just check what is coming out of our mouths. So here's my second revelation today. If we want to see God's power, we need to speak God's power. It's the only way. That's what plants the seed. Speaking it out loud. Let's go back to John chapter 11 and we're finishing off the story. We're starting at verse 40. Jesus said to her, "Did I not promise you that if you would believe and rely on me, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Yes, I know you always hear and listen to me. And I have said this for the benefit of the people standing around, so that they may believe. And when he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And out walked the man who had been dead, his hands and feet wrapped in burial cloths. And Jesus said to him, to them, "Free him of the burial wrappings and let him go." Look at verse 42, it says, "You always hear and listen to me." Jesus was sure that God had heard him. He had a sure hope in his God. Now, we could camp here for about a week, because are we really always sure that God has heard us? But folks, it's bottom line. It's basic stuff. When we pray a prayer, we need to be sure that God has heard. Even though we don't see the answer straight away, we need to be sure. So are we sure? Do we have a sure hope in the God who always hears? The Bible says, does he who created the ear not hear? He always hears. Do we still have a hope in his word, in his promises, in his power, in his love for us? Because we all, at times, can doubt that God loves us. We need to ask ourselves that question. We need to have our hope in the fact that he always hears and he's listening to our every word. Verse 43 says, he shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Why did Jesus shout? Because the man was still alive. He was so excited. The man was still alive. He shouted, "Lazarus, come out." They had put this man in a tomb, but he was now alive again. If something has put us in a tomb or someone has put us in a tomb, we need to start shouting out, "I'm still alive. I'm coming out of this tomb," because it's only our words that will get us out of that tomb. "I'm coming out of this tomb." We're not supposed to bury something if it's not dead yet. You go to jail for that, okay? If it's not dead yet, don't bury it. But we do it all the time. We bury our hopes, we bury our dreams, and we even bury our future when God is saying they're still alive. They're still alive. I don't know what dreams you've got for your life. I don't know what where you see yourself in 5 years or 10 years or whatever these dreams are, or where you thought you would be now and you're just not there. But you're still alive. And God can move in any situation. So Jesus shouted at Lazarus because he didn't want him to be in any doubt. "It's okay, Lazarus. You can come out because I'm here to breathe life into your situation." Folks, we need to do the same. We need to breathe life into our situation. Don't repeat the negatives, because that's repeating the death sentence. Don't repeat the death sentence. Start to shout out. Shout out the truth in God's word. Shout, "My future is alive and well, and God is breathing life into me." Next time you look in the mirror, shout, "God, I've got an amazing future in God." There's a massive big mirror there. It's quite scary. I try not to look at it. I try to look left and right and not look there, because you can see yourself. But there's no excuse for not looking in the mirror today, because these mirrors are about 6 feet high and about, 10 meters across. We can look in that mirror and we can say, "God has an amazing future for me because I'm still alive." Shouting out the word of God is powerful. It lets us know what we believe. It lets God know what we believe. And it lets the enemy know what we believe, that we're not going to listen to his lies anymore. So speak the word of God out loud. Confess his promises and let hope rise up on the inside. Look at verse 44. It says, out walked the man who had been dead. Hold the front page. Stop the press. Don't print it on Fairman Press. Hold that front page, because we've got a new report. Can you just imagine the newspapers? They churn them out about 3 o'clock in the morning, don't they? So they must get printed about midnight. And they churn them out at 3 o'clock in the morning. And they've got maybe something really boring on the front page, something that a politician did or whatever. And then they hear, the Queen's passed away. Hold the front page. There's a bigger story to come. And they've got all of this, all of the everything, all the preparation they've done has got to stop. You know, because a new report's come through. Things might not look great, but don't look at how it seems in the natural, because the first report does not have to be the last report. The enemy comes along and it says you're useless and you're worthless and you're a certain age and God's finished with you, but God is saying, hold the front page, because I've got a new report. They're amazing and they're fantastic and they can still witness to their neighbors, and if they can talk, they can talk the hind legs off them and tell them that Jesus is alive and that he loves them, because God's got a new report for us. God can change reports. Don't believe that the first report is the last report, because it's not. The first report on my life will not be the last report on my life, because God is doing amazing things and he can change reports. When the world says it's dead, perhaps God's saying it's still alive. Even if it looks dead, even if it feels dead and smells dead like a pair of old socks. I won't mention whose, but a pair of old socks. God is saying it's still alive. So here's my last question today. What have we got dead and buried but God's not finished with yet? He's not finished with you yet. Sometimes we've got things dead and buried, but God's saying it's still alive. Sometimes we're in mourning and we've even planned a funeral, but hope is still alive. In verse 44, Jesus said, free him of the burial wrappings and let him go. Folks, it's time to unwrap the grave clothes and let hope live again. Don't give up. Keep fighting, keep hoping, and the blessing is still on its way. The good news is the stone's been rolled away, the resurrection and the life is here. And it's time for a resurrection of our lives. It's time for a resurrection of our hope. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up.